British Sky Broadcasting, 20th Century Fox, Touchstone Pictures, and Hyde Park Entertainment present an Ashok Amritraj production, Shop Girl. Directed by Anand Tucker, starring Steve Martin, Claire Danes, and Jason Schwartzman. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. An aerial view of Los Angeles at night. Lights twinkle. Traffic snakes down a long road. A skyscraper with a cylindrical summit. Vertical lights circle the top of the building. Steam drifts out of the roof. Traffic streams across a complicated junction of roads. Daylight. An aerial view of a multi-lane road crossing over another one, busy with traffic. Pedestrians on a pavement. A leggy blonde in a red top and check skirt goes through the doors of Saks department store. Lipsticks and perfume grouped together on a shop counter. Palettes of eyeshadows in different colours. More rows of brightly coloured lipsticks in shiny silver and gold tubes. Nail varnish, compacts, blurred images of shoppers seen through scent bottles. Three women apply makeup to three seated customers. On the next floor of the shop, women gather in the busy shoe department. The next floor is almost empty of customers. Mannequins in evening dresses stand on plinths. In the background, a woman in a black trouser suit kneels in front of a girl in a black gown, adjusting the skirt. A man on a bench reads a paper. The woman in the trouser suit stands up and touches the strap of the gown and nods. An assistant in a black and white suit guides a customer with her arm. A brown-haired, attractive girl in a green top stands alone, her hands in front of her, behind a counter with a till. Behind her a window and a display of long gloves. Unseen behind the counter, she kicks off black stilettos and wriggles her bare toes. She leans on the counter with her chin cupped in her hands, looking bored. She straightens up guiltily when her boss walks past. She looks around, then leans on her elbows again. Dressed in a coat, she walks through the makeup department. It's dark. A multi-lane road is busy with traffic. It's raining. She drives, wearing glasses. She leans forward and wipes the windscreen with her hand. She sighs. She parks outside an apartment block and gets out. She goes up an external staircase, then down a flight of steps to her front door. Barefoot, she walks into the bedroom and, holding a bowl, peers under the bed.
Come on. Come on out. You want something? Want to eat? There's some food out here. Here it is. It's in the kitchen.
She places the bowl of food on the floor. She crouches in a dressing gown as she lines up a Polaroid camera on a tripod by her bed. She takes off her robe and lies naked on the bed in front of the camera. It flashes as it takes her picture. She sits at the kitchen table with two of the photos and covers a piece of paper with a black crayon. She lies on one side of a double bed reading a book, then shuts it and puts it on the bedside table.
Good night, Sylvia.
Mirabel Buttersfield moved from Vermont, hoping to begin her life. And now she is stranded in the vast openness of LA. She keeps working to make connections, but the pile of near misses is starting to overwhelm her. What Mirabel needs is an omniscient voice to illuminate and spotlight her, and to inform everyone that this one has value, this one standing behind the counter in the glove department, and then to find her counterpart and bring him to her.
A pale blue dawn sky with clouds of pink and orange, hills in the distance, the lights of Los Angeles twinkle. A collection of medicines. Mirabel takes a pill from one of the containers and swallows it. She sits opposite a woman at a desk.
So, you have a student loan of $39,452, and you're currently paying it off at the rate of $45 a month.
Yes.
Do you think that you could increase that amount to... Let me just see.
She taps on a calculator.
$160 a month.
Well, I would love to, but that's just not going to happen.
Really?
Yeah.
It's dark. Mirabel is in a laundrette folding her clothes. A dark-haired, unshaven young man sits in front of the dryers. He looks over at Mirabel.
Hey. I mean, hello. Hi. Do you need change?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
He nods, touching his nose with his finger.
Where do you work?
Saks.
Oh, Saks. Cool. Saks. Saks Fifth Avenue?
She nods. He stretches out his legs and tries to touch his toes. She sighs.
Where do you work?
In my studio. I'm an artist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh, really? What kind?
I draw. Oh. What do you do?
I'm involved in stenciling. You know Holy Dog Amplifiers?
He points at himself.
I do their logo.
He smiles. She is expressionless.
Yeah, I'll show you.
He gets up and walks over to her and shows her his hand.
These are like some fonts that I did. This is, you know, like, this one by my thumb's an older one, obviously, and this is my favorite one. I've called this font Los Angeles because Los Angeles is my favorite one. I'm an okay guy, by the way.
He nods and walks away.
You didn't have to tell me that.
I didn't? How come?
I could tell.
Well, how could you tell?
Because I'm a really poor judge of character.
I'm a poor judge of character as well. The worst.
He turns his back on her and opens a dryer. Some clothes fall out. He pushes them back in and shuts the door. He checks his pockets, sits down, then jumps up and goes back to Mirabel.
Excuse me, young lady. Two things. One, I was wondering if I could now borrow change from you, because my stuff's still damp. And two, I was wondering if I could please have your phone number so that I could call you. I'm Jeremy. I will call you.
If you do want me,
Mirabel is in the shower.
If you don't want me, don't leave me on down.
She sprays her hair wearing a bath towel.
I'm feeling blue, and
She stands in front of her bedroom mirror wearing an old-fashioned dress and cardigan. It's dark. She leaves her apartment and walks towards Jeremy, who's parked outside in an old car. As she gets in, he throws rubbish from the passenger seat over to the back.
Sorry. I'll get it next time. Hey.
Hi. You look nice.
Yeah, thanks.
His long hair is clean. She puts on her seatbelt.
Okay. Get ready to have the time of your life.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right, young lady.
Universal Studios theme park. Mirabelle and Jeremy sit outside on the edge of a fountain. She looks bored. He gazes upwards.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
He shakes his head, then cocks it to one side.
Are we going in?
Go in? Oh, no. I just thought we'd look at it.
She looks up at the Universal sign.
So, we would just sit here then?
Yeah. Or walk around. This place is called City Walk. It got 8 out of 10 in my date book. It's not called City Go and See a Movie. Tickets are like $10 too. I like it here. Peaceful. I come here to think about fonts. I've actually been working on a font for you. It's my most favorite. The L's go like that.
He wiggles his fingers.
We could split it.
Okay, let's split it.
Okay.
You're right. Can I borrow $2?
They pull up outside her apartment.
Congratulations, you've officially gone on a date with Jeremy. Don't forget to hold the handle when you lock the door.
He gets out. They walk down the steps to her front door.
52 steps. Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks for driving me.
Can I see your place?
I think I should go to bed. I'm pretty tired.
Cool.
So, good night.
Oh, okay. Well, here, let me give you my number. You got a pen?
Oh, yeah, I do.
You got paper?
Oh, yeah.
He looks at the railings.
How high is that? You ever jump off that? I would jump it.
He writes down his number. She shifts from one foot to the other impatiently.
Mirabelle?
Yeah?
Can I kiss you or what?
She looks surprised.
The point being?
He purses his lips, nods, and hands back the pen and paper.
Thank you.
He backs away.
Oh, hey, you look good too.
He turns to leave.
Hey, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Are you the kind of person it takes time to get to know, and then once you get to know them, they're fabulous?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. What? Yes.
Okay.
No. Okay. I love you. No kiss. Good night.
Good night.
He leaves. She goes in. She looks at the paper with his number on it, puts it in the bin, then throws herself onto the couch. Saks Department Store. She stands in the glove department looking bored. An elderly couple, smiling and holding hands, kiss and walk past her. She watches, smiling, head on one side. Her smile fades and she shrugs her shoulders, disgruntled. She drives home, listening to the radio.
You see, Susan, your husband doesn't understand that it's afterglow that's important to a woman.
Uh-huh.
Much more important than the sex act itself.
Huh.
A woman needs to be held. Even if, and science has shown this, It's by someone she doesn't care about. Protective hormones are released, and the amount of hormones released depend on the degree to which she is held. The first and best is the complete surround. He wraps you in both arms, whispers how beautiful you are. Second best is the arm around. He's next to you, but with one arm around you. Third is he's just next to you on his elbow, but he rests his hand on your stomach and looks at you. Fourth is you snuggling up to him with your head on his chest while he looks away into space. But when the first best happens, you feel completely, wonderfully like a woman.
She finds his number after searching through the bin and dustbin. She sits in front of the phone. Jeremy sits in his squalid flat watching TV. He knocks the phone off the hook as she is dialing.
Jeremy?
He gets up and goes to the fridge.
Jeremy?
But I know he's got a mouthful of pig. He's bringing it up into the shallows.
Jeremy?
We've never seen him do it before. Let's hope he does.
He brings a canned drink back and sits on the couch.
Sink his teeth into it and then
Jeremy!
Head shake.
Here wow. We go.
He's absorbed in the TV.
Jeremy!
Watch this, here we go.
He looks at the phone, leans forward, and picks up a piece of paper amongst the rubbish on the table in front of him. He grabs the phone just as Mirabelle is redialing. She looks puzzled.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this Jeremy?
Yeah.
Do you know who this is?
Yeah, it's Mirabelle.
Did you just dial me?
Yeah.
Did you know that...
What?
That
you what?
That, oh.
What?
Nothing.
Okay, well, Mirabelle, I was wondering if you want me to come over.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm just hanging out, really.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna come over then.
Okay. Like, when?
Well, I'm in the middle of a lot of things right now, so maybe like in 10 minutes?
She's at her door with a bag of chips.
Hi.
She opens the door.
Hi.
I brought fries.
I can tell.
How'd you tell?
I can see through the bag.
Oh, yeah. They're really good.
She looks stuck for words.
Come on in.
Yeah? Great. Oh, great place, man.
He barges in, handing her the chips. She sits on the couch, nervously stroking her neck, while he looks through her CDs, standing by the stereo. She thrusts out her bust in an effort to gain his attention. He points to a CD and gives her the thumbs up. She's crestfallen. She picks up the remote for the stereo.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Hey, is that the bedroom?
What? Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm.
Each tries awkwardly to follow the other into the bedroom. She sits on the end of the bed. He stands in front of her playing with his jacket zip. Finally, he undoes it, and she reaches forward and tugs at his jacket before leaning back on the bed, smiling. He hesitantly leans forward to kiss her. She grabs him and falls backwards, with him on top.
We'll need a condom.
Oh, I got it. Oh, shit.
What?
It's a mint.
What?
I grabbed the wrong package. It's a mint, not a condom. Do you have one?
No.
So stupid.
He eats the mint. She looks bewildered.
Ooh, yeah. Do you have, a baggie?
What?
If you had, like, a jiffy baggie, well, I could, like, use that, you know?
Oh, God.
You're gonna have to go and get one.
Okay, cool. Where do you keep them?
What?
The Jiffy bag is where do you keep them?
No, a condom.
Kind of breaks the romantic mood.
Sitting on the end of the bed, she sighs.
Do you want to just hug?
Yeah.
As he leaves the apartment, a neighbor comes out.
Say, excuse me, bro.
He comes back into the bedroom.
That was quick.
Yeah.
Where'd you get it?
Well, I was out there and I bumped into your neighbor, Kenny. I just asked him if he had any,
Oh, God.
Great.
She lies back on the bed, exasperated.
Do you still want to do it?
She stares at him.
Do you want a massage?
He flexes his fingers. Naked but for his socks, he lies on top of her. His pants hang from one foot over the end of the bed. They kiss passionately. A ginger cat walks up to the dangling pants and sniffs them, then paws at them. It jumps on the bed. It stares at the kissing couple intently.
What happened?
Ow. Someone's hitting my balls.
Someone? Bad Sylvia!
Ow.
I'm sorry. Oh, ow. Are you okay?
Yeah, it's like someone throwing marshmallows at me. Ow.
Are you okay to...
Yeah. Does this happen often?
Yeah, every night.
He nods.
Maybe I should just go home.
No. No, stay.
They lie next to each other in bed, not touching, staring at the ceiling. She looks over at him, then turns away.
Amplifiers are so underappreciated.
What?
They could be so cool looking and nobody cares about design, you know? Pisses me off. Mac Design's a cool computer. Everybody goes out and they buy it. And a band, a rock and roll band, lives or dies by their amplifiers, and they're sold like refrigerators.
The hell is that? It's ridiculous. Come on. The amps should have mystique. I mean, yeah. I mean, amps should be sold like cool things, you know, like cars, like swords, not like appliances. And that is why my boss's business is going under, because he views it all as merch. That's merchandise.
Well, you should do something about it.
Huh?
The department store. A wealthy, trendy young couple, arms round each other, walk up to Mirabelle.
Ugh, the worst.
The second floor is great.
You want something? Seen anything you want?
Nothing here. Right. But that Stella McCartney dress is good.
Perfect.
As Mirabelle watches them leave, a white-haired man approaches her.
Excuse me?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Is he famous?
He's on that show, Extraterrestrials.
No, I haven't seen that.
No, neither have I.
How'd you know who he was then?
Osmosis. Would you like to see something?
Yeah. Those gray ones and those black ones.
Hey.
How does it work? Is it one size fits all, or...?
They come in different sizes, but mostly they'll fit anybody. Unless, you know, she's big.
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, depends on the dress. What color's the dress?
Yeah, I'll just get the gray ones.
Safe.
Safe? What, do you think the black?
I like the black.
Okay, I'll take the black.
Okay.
She puts the gloves in a tissue-lined box.
$145.
She hands him a bag, then a bill.
Just put it in there. Thank you.
Thank you.
She smiles as she watches him leave, noticing his smart, shiny shoes as he slowly walks away. Jeremy is at work, scruffily dressed, with a t-shirt draped over his head. He is outside, wiping an amplifier. He looks over at his boss and talks to himself as if trying to pluck up the courage to go over to him. He stamps his foot, turns a circle, and jogs over to him.
Jeff! What?
Hey, you know what I've been thinking?
I have no idea.
Well, how could you? I'm the one who's thinking it, obviously. Listen, Chet, who hangs out with rock musicians on the road?
Who?
Other rock musicians.
And?
If you had someone on the road with a band, you know, one of these bands that uses our stuff, with someone who looks real sharp, you know?
Someone the musicians could relate to. I bet you could sell a lot more stuff that way.
Do you have someone in mind?
Yeah. Me.
His boss nods, unconvinced.
Think about it.
Mirabelle is at work, displaying a lacy glove. She walks through the perfume department as she leaves. An attractive blonde sales girl lets a male customer sniff her neck. It's dark. Mirabelle goes up the steps to her apartment, carrying groceries. Frowning, she looks down at a small parcel outside her door. Inside, she cuts the string round the parcel with scissors. She pulls off the brown paper. It's a slim red box. Frowning, she removes the lid and opens the tissue, ignoring a small envelope. It's the gloves. She gets them out. She pulls out a card from the envelope and reads, "I would like to have dinner with you, Ray Porter." She looks serious. She is at the shop, bowing to a Japanese couple who bow back.
Arigato.
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 Ray approaches.
Did you get my package? It always seems like I'm sneaking up on you, but I'm not.
I was distracted by global commerce.
So, did you get my package?
Yes. Thank you.
And?
Who are you?
Good point. I'm Ray Porter. Hi, how are you?
They shake hands. He looks around and backs away.
Look, I know you can't be seen chatting up customers, so why don't you just meet me Friday for dinner at La Ronde, you know, that little place in Beverly Hills, at 8 o'clock. You don't even have to give me your phone number. You can just show up. And if you don't, I'll just eat alone.
She smiles broadly.
What was the name of the restaurant?
La Ronde.
What time?
8.
He shrugs and leaves, hands in pockets. She looks bemused and shrugs, too. She is in her bathroom in a robe. She strokes her leg to check it's smooth. She blow-dries her hair. She drives slowly, clutching a piece of paper, looking around. She pulls up outside the restaurant. She walks up to the entrance and tries the double doors. She can't open them. A couple leaving push open the doors so she's able to enter. She follows the maitre d' through the restaurant. Ray sits alone at a table. She stands awkwardly in front of him. He stands up.
You're on time.
Why not?
Many people aren't.
Oh, thank you.
The maitre d' takes her coat.
Would you like something to drink?
Red wine.
What shade?
Maroon.
All right. We'll have some of that fancy maroon wine that you have.
Wearing a shiny pale green dress, she looks nervous.
So,
Who are you?
I'm a logician.
Meaning you work with numbers?
I work with symbols.
So you're a symbolic logician?
Exactly.
You're very well dressed for a symbolic logician.
He nods bashfully.
So how did you get my address?
Well, I lied to Sachs, and then I made one phone call to information. You have an unusual name, Buttersfield. Mirabelle Buttersfield.
She smiles broadly.
While Ray Porter explains his presumption in getting her address and sending her the gloves, Mirabelle sizes him up, and no alarm bells sound. She asks him several questions and gets a particular kind of checklist for a man over 50. Divorced, two houses, one in LA and one in the computer-oriented Seattle, which is the source of his wealth.
He smiles and she looks down.
So, did he give me your phone number?
Yes.
But the one question she does not ask him, which is foremost in her mind, is, why me?
Mirabelle sits alone outside a cafe eating a sandwich when the blonde perfume sales girl approaches.
Hey! Hi. Mind if I join you?
She sits down opposite Mirabelle, clutching a can of Diet Coke.
We see each other, but we don't know each other. I'm Lisa.
Mirabelle.
They nod at each other, smiling. Lisa throws back her long, streaked hair. Mirabelle frowns, leaning forward.
You ever have men ask you out at the store?
Daily.
And do you ever go out with them?
Depends. Somebody ask you out?
Mirabelle looks down, embarrassed.
You want some advice? You never call him. But if he calls you, you talk to him, then act like you have another call. Keep him on hold for a long time. Like longer than you think is possible. And break dates. Always break dates. Right around the holidays, because then he's just stuck. And fellatio. The sooner the better, and a lot. Act like you love it. After he's addicted, cut him off. That's when you got him.
Yeah, I couldn't do all that.
How come?
I'm from Vermont.
Lisa nods sympathetically, then smiles. It's nighttime. Mirabelle sits on the couch in her apartment, nervously twiddling her thumbs. She looks over at a shadowy figure going past the window and jumps up. She opens the front door. It's Ray.
You know, I think I can see your apartment from my house.
Really?
Yeah, because I live near the observatory, and I can see the observatory from your steps.
They stand smiling at each other nervously.
Well, do you want to go or stay?
Well...
Do you want to sit down?
Yeah, great. Thanks.
He falls back on the couch.
Do you want something to drink?
Pardon me?
A drink?
Yeah. What do you have?
White wine.
It's great.
She goes into the kitchen, and he shuffles uncomfortably on the couch. She opens the fridge.
It's nice neighborhood.
Yeah, I really like it.
She sniffs the open bottle of wine, looking doubtful. She comes back in and hands him a glass of wine. She sits beside him. He sips it, then sniffs it twice.
Should we go?
Yeah, that's good.
Whoa, oh, boy.
She helps him off the couch.
It's a futon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, futon.
You like the cha-cha-cha. It's fun.
Woohoo!
They leave her apartment. They're at a table in a Mexican restaurant.
So, you know what you're gonna have?
Yeah, I always get the jerk chicken.
Is that an order or a comment? Okay, so we need some date questions. So let's see, where's your family live?
Vermont.
Good relationship with your father, I hope?
Well, my dad doesn't speak very much. After Vietnam.
Okay, be honest, maybe. If this were a TV dating show, would I be kicked off already and you'd be on to the next guy?
You'd still be on the show.
Good. I like your watch.
Thank you. Pretty unassuming Timex.
Yeah, but I'm out of date questions, and so I'm on to date comments.
Her hand rests on the table. He undoes her watch strap with one hand, gently grips her wrist, and circles it with two fingers, while she stares at him.
Now I'm your watch.
She gazes at him. They approach her front door.
Very nice.
Was I boring?
No. Was I?
A little bit.
Well, okay.
I don't think that you should come in.
I'm not asking to.
Meaning?
I'll see you again.
Oh. Okay.
He smiles and turns to leave.
I'll be out of town about a week. But would you like to have dinner on Friday? We could eat at my place.
Okay.
She opens her front door. He leaves. A plane silhouetted against an orange sky. Seattle at night. The dawn sky is reflected in the curved window of a modern house. Ray enters carrying two small bags. There are lamps on. He puts the bags down. He's in the modern, stylish kitchen, eating a takeaway with chopsticks, watching TV. Jeremy, scruffy and unshaven, is in his squalid kitchen doing the same. Mirabelle is in her bath, shaving her legs. Ray drinks from a glass of white wine. Jeremy sucks on a straw in a paper cup and scratches his greasy head with a chopstick. Both men are absorbed in the game. Jeremy holds up his chopsticks. Jeremy uses the chopsticks like drumsticks, waving them in the air. An aerial view of the city at night. A band is on stage. In the wings, next to three girls, Jeremy dances clumsily. Jeremy stops dancing. The singer steps back from the mic. Jeremy picks up an amplifier and runs on stage. He places it at the back and takes the plug out of the old amp and places it in the new one. Jeremy looks up and salutes with a clenched fist. The singer looks over at him in the wings and nods. Jeremy smooths back his hair. One of the girls offers him a beer. He declines. He throws his head around, dancing awkwardly. Outside, the singer and Jeremy walk together.
Hey man, you saved our ass tonight.
Oh, no sweat.
What was that amp?
Oh, this is Holy Dog. It's the amp's amp. You know, it's the one I've been telling you about for 3 weeks.
We'll see you on the bus, man.
You want some dope?
Oh, I'm afraid I'm gonna have to just say no.
Good answer.
I'm into athletics.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. You wanna ride with us? Ride with us.
What?
We got an extra bunk. Come on.
Ride with you?
Come on, we're leaving tomorrow morning.
Yeah? Great. All right.
Come on.
Let me get my gear and I gotta expedite a couple things, but...
Come on!
All right!
He waves and walks away purposefully. The star-filled night sky over Mirabelle's apartment. She is inside.
Hello?
Hey, it's Jeremy. Jeremy, what are you doing?
You mean now?
Yeah, come over. I want you to come over.
It's too late.
It's not too late.
Oh, it is for me. I have to get up.
Come over.
I can't.
Come on.
No.
Oh, come on. I'm leaving town for a couple months.
I can't.
Why not?
Because I'm seeing someone.
He sighs as he sprawls upside down on his sofa, holding the phone to his chest. It's dark. Frowning, in glasses, Mirabelle drives in her pickup truck and parks outside a large modern house. Ray waits on the steps and waves. She stands in the glass-walled living room.
You have a nice house.
Do you think it's too done?
No, it's nice.
I didn't do it. It was like this when I bought it. Do you want to sit down? Do you want to go outside?
Okay.
Do you want some wine?
Later.
They go outside to the brightly lit pool. Ray looks through binoculars.
Okay, there's the termite sign, and then down from that. Yes, I can see your building, but not your apartment. Take a look. See the blue sign?
Yeah.
And right below that, Silver Lake Boulevard. Uh-huh. And just go over.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Huh.
Through the window of his apartment, she sees Jeremy masturbating.
Oh!
She hands him back the binoculars.
You all right?
Yes.
A pincher?
He examines them.
There's a dealer on La Brea who takes my drawings, and they sell one occasionally.
How often do you do one?
About every 6 months.
Why so few?
I don't know, really.
You sure you don't want some wine?
I'm sure. Thank you.
You want to see the rest of the house?
Let's go.
They walk through the house. Ray points to three dustbins outside.
That's the three, you got all three type recycle bins.
Mm.
Yeah. And you got the whole laundry room with all the closets. This just, so you just put things in there. A garage.
They walk through the house and into the stylish, minimalist, subtly lit bedroom, where they stand, looking awkward.
Bedroom. Nice view.
She stands, hands by her side, facing the full-length window. He stands behind her, shifting uncomfortably. He reaches out and takes her arm. She turns and faces him. He strokes her arms. She grips his waist. They kiss tenderly. He clasps her shoulders. She strokes his cheek. They stop kissing and gaze at each other.
Let me turn off the phones.
He leaves the bedroom. She watches, smiling, then looks around. He returns and stands in the doorway. She is naked, lying on her stomach on the bed, looking over her shoulder at him. He goes in and sits on the edge of the bed, looking down at her. He slowly strokes her shoulder, back and hip. The fire burns in the living room. The blue pool sparkles. Jeremy is on the tour bus.
Okay. All right, here's when you sleep.
Okay, cool.
All right. Use your headphones.
Okay.
Go to sleep with the music.
Jeremy jumps into the bunk.
Come on, we're gonna make mojitos.
What's mojito?
Fancy drink.
All right.
Jeremy is lying on the bunk, eyes closed, wearing headphones, listening to music.
I wanna fly! Yeah! Yeah!
The singer takes the rock CD out of the bus stereo and replaces it with a yoga CD. Jeremy frowns.
Relax your ankles and breathe. Feel your hands. Flex them. Fix your eyes on an object in front of you. Quiet your mind. Feel the sensation of being alive.
He looks at a poster on the wall of a girl in a bikini. It's morning. Mirabelle, in a black dressing gown, is in Ray's modern kitchen, smiling lovingly at him as he lays the breakfast bar, brings over some pancakes, and sits opposite her.
Hey. Is it okay if I make a speech?
Okay.
I wasn't really looking for anything permanent right now. But I really like seeing you. I'm just traveling so much right now that I thought maybe we should just keep our options open. Do you understand?
I do.
Mirabelle is outside a cafe having a drink with two girlfriends. Ray is with his therapist.
Okay, my little Miss Mirabelle at the fourth floor. How did it go with the glove man?
Oh, yeah. Tell us all about it. Do you like him? Does he like you?
Well, he said he was surprised that he was interested in me.
I told her there was no possibility that this was a long-term relationship. She's just, you know, she's really too young for me.
But you want to sleep with her?
Well, yeah.
He said he wants to give it a try.
And I said that even though this is not long-term, I still want to see her.
And she understood?
Oh, yeah.
He said he wants to cut down on his traveling.
I essentially said that I like to sleep with her when I'm in town.
He said he might, you know, stop traveling completely, and then we decide what to do at that point.
Even though it's a sexual relationship, we still should be able to see other people.
So he was really taken with you?
Yeah, it seemed like it.
So you were really clear with her that this relationship has no future?
Absolutely.
Well, you know how to find out if he really loves you?
How?
You call him sweetheart and watch what he does.
Mirabel smiles thoughtfully. I don't know what it is. She walks in the street outside the store. She walks through the store. She stands behind the counter, smiling dreamily. She is in her bathroom shaving her legs. She is blow-drying her hair. Ray and Mirabel are kissing outside her front door. She slowly takes off a red satin robe. Ray sits on her bed, dressed, watching. She stands before him naked, then puts on a long black glove. They lie on the bed face to face, he clothed, she naked, stroking his face with a gloved hand. She tilts her head back, eyes closed, mouth open. She lies on her stomach on the bed, propped on her elbows, looking dreamy. She enters the kitchen, picks up the medicine bottle, takes the cap off, looks at it, replaces the cap, and throws it in the bin. It's sunset. The tour bus drives along. Jeremy and the singer are looking at CDs in a music store.
Hey, Luther, we've been listening to the same tapes now for weeks. What do you say we get some new stuff?
What do they got?
Mostly yoga, Pilates, gyrotechnics.
Hey, look at these. How to Love a Woman.
Yeah.
You need that one.
What?
There's more relationship stuff.
You getting it?
Let's just get them on. We're on the road till February.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I guess we'll love women now.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, mister.
Now, anything you don't like, you know you can take back.
You know I never return anything you give me.
Yeah, but maybe you've got a stash of stuff hidden away that you're just dying to take back, just waiting for me to say it's okay.
Silly. By the way, you know my birthday's tomorrow.
It is really? Okay, you know what that is? That is a computer error, and I'm going to fix that, and next year, everything will be perfect.
Next year, you'll be dead.
Okay, well, do you want to open them tomorrow then? You want to wait?
No, I love gifts.
Kneeling on Ray's bed, Mirabel opens the box while he watches, arms behind his head.
Oh my God! It's beautiful.
You like it?
I love it. Thank you so much. Should I try it on?
Yes.
Yes.
She runs into the bathroom with a red sundress.
Hey, I gotta go to New York in about 6 weeks for an event weekend. Do you wanna go? Do you think you could get off?
Oh my God, yes.
You're gonna need a dress.
Well, what kind of dress?
Well, it's a tuxedo thing, so whatever that is. I could take you to Armani next week.
She comes out of the bathroom wearing the new dress. He smiles.
You look beautiful.
She walks over to the end of the bed and stands facing him, smoothing down the dress. He leans forward, propped on one elbow, and gazes up at her. He strokes her thigh. He lifts her skirt. She tilts back her head, breathing heavily. She stands in a grey gown in a dress shop while an assistant kneels adjusting the hem. Ray is seated, reading. The assistant gets up and leaves.
Ray?
He looks up.
I've never had a dress fitted on me before.
Nighttime, the tour bus.
Feel the sensation of being alive. Feel what it means to be alive. Only
from this place of pure existence, can you begin to change, to turn yourself into a being capable of loving another person.
Jeremy is in his bunk listening to the CD, a book called Intimate Connections, on his chest. Mirabelle is asleep in Ray's bed.
Hey, you're gonna be late. You all right?
I feel good.
I feel good
too. Buttoning his shirt cuff, Ray leaves the bedroom. Disheveled, she sits on the edge of the bed, looking unhappy. She is at work, looking uneasy, serving a customer.
I think I like the look of the brown ones. Would you like...
Mirabelle looks distracted. She grips the counter as she reaches down awkwardly to a drawer. She suddenly sits down.
Are you all right? Yes, fine, thank you. I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Mirabelle looks worried. She breathes heavily. The room seems to be closing in around her. Her lips and chin tremble. Her chest heaves. She lies in bed, ignoring the phone.
Hey, it's Ray. You haven't returned my calls. Are you all right?
I'm fine.
You don't sound fine.
I'm okay.
Hey, guess what? I'm not hanging up until you tell me what's wrong.
Have you ever taken antidepressants?
No.
I do. But I stopped.
And?
And, the doctor says that maybe I shouldn't have.
All right. I'm gonna come over there and get you, and we're gonna go to the doctor. You call him and let him know we're coming.
Ray is driving Mirabelle. She stares out of the car window. They walk towards the surgery. He has his arm round her. She briefly reciprocates. He pours a glass of water. He pushes a tablet out of its foil. He puts it in her mouth as she sits next to him in pajamas. He passes her the water. She drinks it and tilts her head back to swallow. He looks at her, concerned.
Here, I have something for you.
He gets up. She wipes her eyes. He returns with a small folder for her.
What's this?
Well, I know it's a month away, but it's your ticket to New York City.
She looks at the ticket, then at him. She puts her hand over his. Still clutching the ticket, she curls up on the bed in a fetal position as he watches. It's night time. She's in her apartment. The ticket is on her dressing table. She picks it up and props it on her bedside table. She gets into bed and folds the pillow up under her head as she stares at the ticket, smiling. She is sitting on the bed, unwrapping a box. She picks up the card inside, which says, "Love, Ray." She takes out a large, leather-bound book. She sits at the table, crayoning a piece of paper, covering it with black, but for a white strip in the middle.
Hello?
You're there.
Just.
Hey, do you have plans for tonight?
Somewhat.
Could you cancel them? I could be there in 3 hours.
I could cancel them.
Good. Have you eaten yet?
No, I wanted to wait.
Well, I'll bring some food from the plane.
Plane food?
Private plane food.
A plane flies towards an orange glow. Ray sits on board, a glass of wine in front of him, staring out of the window at the night sky, white clouds swirling in front of the stars. He picks up the wine glass. Trees fringe the starry night sky, framed by the window high up in the pink-tiled wall of Mirabelle's bathroom. She stares up at it as she lies in the bath. He lights a candle as she sits upright on the edge of the bed. They lie in bed. He rests his hand on her bare back. The parked tour bus. The band stand in a line by a ploughed field, urinating as Jeremy is on the phone.
Hi, it's Mirabelle. Leave your name and number, and I'll call you back.
Oh, hey, Mirabelle's machine. It's Jeremy. I'm calling you from the road. And I was calling to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and all that. And
he refers to a book.
I think I might have objectified you instead of treating you like the unique being that you are. And even better, I get to use the roadie from the Hot Tears' cell phone for free, no charge. So I'm calling you for free.
Mirabelle leaves Ray's house.
Why are you leaving for work at 7:45?
I gotta go home to change.
Oh, that could take an hour.
I know. Do you want to stay at my place sometime?
He looks away.
You know, I live 10 minutes from Saks. Next time you come over, just leave some clothes here and you can go to work from here.
Okay.
You know, I won't be able to see you till after Thanksgiving.
Don't stuff yourself with all that turkey.
He waves.
See you, sleepyhead.
She gets into her truck and pulls away. Watching her leave, Ray stands on his front doorstep in a black dressing gown, wearing dark glasses, hands in pockets. He purses his lips and sighs. Seattle at night. Ray is in his kitchen watching TV, spreading peanut butter on oatcakes. He's in a restaurant with a woman.
I'm glad you called. You saved me from a dinner of oatcakes and peanut butter.
Hey, you always used to take me out of nice restaurants. Why don't you take yourself?
I didn't want to go out.
I would have brought food.
That's a little tricky.
She holds up rice and caviar in chopsticks.
Eat some.
Cholesterol.
It's fish.
It's eggs. 5,000 little eggs.
The attractive woman stares at Ray as he drinks from a small cup.
Are you seeing somebody?
Yes. No.
Is it serious?
It's hard to say. I've been really clear with her.
Are you in love with her?
They stare at each other. She starts to smile.
Question of the night. How would you like to just lie there?
What do you mean?
Tonight, how would you, Ray Porter, like to just lie there and pretend like you're in Thailand? And when it's all over, I'll just slip away into the night. Remember?
Mirabelle is cross-legged on her bed, looking at her black and white picture. She puts it on the table, turns off the light, and gets into bed. The attractive woman is asleep in Ray's bed, draped in brown sheets. Ray stands over her, doing up his shirt, looking down at her. He looks at his watch, turns away, and goes over to his answering machine.
Hi, what you doing, mister?
Just calling to say hello.
When are you coming down?
Let me know. We could have one of our nights.
Okay, so, well, have a good night.
Bye.
Ray sits on his plane, looking thoughtful. He opens a notepad. He takes a pen out of his inside jacket pocket and takes the cap off. He sighs.
Dear Mirabel, I suppose the only way to say this is to say it. I slept with someone. It was not romantic or intimate, and if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't. I am not telling you this because I want our relationship to change. I am telling you this only because you deserve to know. I am sorry. Ray.
She lies on his bed sobbing, the letter by her side. He sits on the end of the bed. She gets up, picks up her shoes, coat and bag, and leaves the room. She sits on a bench in the corridor to put on her shoes. He gets up, clutching the letter, and stands in the bedroom doorway.
I put it in a letter because I didn't want to change my mind in the middle of telling you.
She looks at him, sobbing. He sits beside her. She shakes her head.
I can't go to New York with you now.
Oh, sweet.
He puts his arm around her.
I can't go. How can I go?
He follows her as she carries her bag out to her truck and takes her keys out of her bag. She wipes her hair off her tear-stained face.
Hey. You want to hear the stupidest thing of all? I somehow thought it would be all right.
She nods and frowns, getting into the truck with her suitcase. He nods and purses his lips. She puts on her glasses. She pulls away. He waves half-heartedly. Looking troubled, he lies back in his aeroplane seat, a glass of red wine in front of him. He stares out of the window. Nighttime. Her apartment. She looks out through an open blind. It's raining. Ray enters his Seattle home. Mirabel stares out of a taxi window unhappily. She pulls up outside a clapboard house, covered in thick snow. A middle-aged couple in patterned jumpers stand rigidly in front. She gets out and embraces the bearded man.
Hi, Dad.
She embraces the woman.
Hi, Mom.
They all go inside. She enters an old-fashioned bedroom carrying a case. She puts it down and looks around. There is a single bed, patterned wallpaper, and drawings pinned on the wall.
Dinner's ready. I'll be there in a second.
She sits next to her father on the couch, eating a meal off a tray.
Hey,
You getting along okay out there?
Yeah. Sax is fine, and I sell a drawing sometimes.
He nods and smiles. Ray is in a restaurant with a group of suited men. He gazes into the distance distractedly. She sits at the dining room table with her parents, picking at her food. Her mother dabs her mouth with a napkin and gets up from the table to answer the phone.
Mirabelle, it's for you.
Mirabelle gets up. Her mother shrugs at her father as she returns.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry.
Mirabelle looks up at the phone on the wall.
Why don't you come to New York?
Mirabelle watches her mother at the table, drinking a cup of coffee. Her mother looks up. The tour bus.
8 weeks on and off still. All the other winners I spent.
Jeremy, in headphones, looks out of his bunk up and down the bus. He removes his headphones. He gets out and stumbles towards the singer at the front of the bus and sits opposite him.
Hey. What's that?
It's a Helmut Lang suit.
Helmut Lang suit, what for?
That's when we hit New York City.
Jeremy takes off the cover.
A white suit for when we hit New York City. Cool.
He sits down again. Ray and Mirabelle arrive at a party. He is in a tuxedo. She in a white and gold evening gown. Her hair is up. She looks around nervously.
You look like an angel.
She slips her hand into his.
Barlow is a liar.
Ray, smiling, is with a group of men. Mirabelle sits alone, hands clasped in her lap, at the end of a seat, next to two women who are chatting to each other animatedly, but ignoring her. Ray and Mirabelle stand face to face at the end of the hotel bed. They kiss.
I'm not ready to make love.
That's right. I'm just glad you're here.
Wearing a robe, he comes out of the bathroom. He stops in his tracks as he notices Mirabelle in bed, sucking her thumb. He leans on the doorframe, looking troubled. Mirabelle is back in the office she visited before.
So, thank you for coming in. We do need you to sign a few things.
Okay.
What are they? Just some papers finishing off your loan.
Okay. What do you mean, finishing off my loan?
What do you mean? Your loan's been paid off.
Mirabelle is dumbstruck.
Just need you to sign here and here, and congratulations. Must be quite a relief.
You are the sweetest man.
That's something I'm able to do for you.
You do a lot for me.
I don't give you very much. Financial things, yes, but that's easy for me.
I know it's hard for you to be close.
Sorry.
She leans over Ray and kisses him tenderly. Mirabelle walks through the cosmetics department wearing a pretty floral dress. Lisa is serving a customer.
There's made with salmon roe.
Lisa looks up and notices Mirabelle's dress. Mirabelle smiles at her. Lisa makes a phone call.
Kieran, it's Lisa. Did you sell one of those flowered print dresses this week? Size 2.
Yeah. Some guy came in, bought one for his girlfriend.
What was the name on the credit card?
Okay, hang on one second. Ray Porter?
Mirabelle is in her apartment.
Hello?
Hi, it's Ray. I'm just about to land. I'll be about a half hour late. Can I meet you at the gallery?
Okay.
Mirabelle gets out of her truck in a car park wearing a brown lace dress. Pink petals blow in the wind.
Excuse me, young lady.
She shields her eyes against the bright sunshine. A man in a white suit approaches her.
Mirabelle. It's me, Jeremy. Nice to see you again.
Hi! You look so different.
Yeah, I know. Changes. Woo! Do you realize that I've been on the road for a very long time now?
I guess you have, yeah.
Yeah, and I've been trying to break into the moment. Uh-huh. That's been my work. Well, I don't get paid for it, but it's my unwork work. I feel unprepared to see you, but it's so nice to see you again. Are you going to the Rinaldo Gallery?
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah. I'm leaving town tomorrow, and I wasn't sure if I'd get a chance to see the show before it closes, and I'm a huge fan of the artist. He's a big influence on my stenciling.
Great.
Two things.
Yes?
One.
Uh-huh.
You look great. And second, would you walk in there with me?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's go.
Yeah.
These are never clean.
You look amazing.
You look amazing. Are you tall?
I'm great heels.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeremy looks much smarter, clean-shaven with his hair swept back. Lisa is giggling and whispering to a friend standing outside the gallery. She watches as Jeremy takes Mirabelle's hand before crossing the road to get to the gallery.
He's younger than I thought.
Lisa raises her eyebrows and cocks her head.
Are you going here alone?
Or? I'm meeting a friend.
Cool. She's...
Peace.
Jeremy looks wistful. They enter the gallery.
You want something from the bar?
Not yet.
All right, I'm gonna get something, so I'll see you in a minute.
Okay, I'll just be walking around.
Okay. Hi, Mirabelle.
Jeremy goes to the bar where Lisa is hovering.
Can I have a mojito?
Mojito?
Jeremy eyes up Lisa.
For you, my good man.
Lisa turns to Jeremy.
Oh my god. I have never seen anyone else order one of these.
Yeah, I just love the color.
Good. I mean...
yeah.
Wait, you have to take the first sip with your eyes closed, though. Like this. Go ahead. See? Nothing to distract you from the first taste. How was it?
Noisy.
I have a secret.
What is it?
I know who you are.
He looks around.
How do you know who I am? You hear about people who are worth hearing about. I'm Lisa.
Hi, Lisa Ray.
Sense of humor. That's good, that's good. You, do you...
what is it?
I can't.
What?
What?
Just tell me.
Shall I?
Stop, I'm shocked.
Okay, do you want to get a drink later?
Yes.
Great. When do you want to leave?
Now!
You know what else I like? I think I like Ray Porter.
I can't wait to meet him.
They pass Ray, who looks confused.
Okay. Bye. Hey.
Arrivé.
Bonsoir.
Sorry I'm late. Want to take a walk?
Sure.
Yeah.
Ray and Mirabelle leave.
I don't have a car. Could you give me a ride?
Yeah, mine's in the lot.
Hey, you want to go to the Ivy? It's still early. I bet we could get in.
Sure.
They put their arms around each other as they walk along. Mirabelle is driving Ray. He strokes her arm.
Why don't we just go home?
He nods. In Lisa's bedroom, candles burn on a shelf next to a book on orgasms and a black dildo. Jeremy stands awkwardly at the foot of her bed. He smooths back his hair and takes off his jacket, throwing it on the bed. Lisa comes out of the bathroom wearing a basque, suspenders, knickers, fishnet stockings and stilettos, all in black. She poses seductively. Jeremy brushes back his hair with his hand. She comes over to him.
Okay.
She pushes him back onto the bed.
Those handcuffs?
She straddles him.
We find out.
She strokes his chest.
Oh, Ray. Ray. Oh, Ray.
Oh, Ray.
Oh, Ray.
Oh, Ray.
At the real Ray's house, Mirabelle leans over him in bed and kisses his forehead. Her hair brushes his face. He clasps her naked shoulders. They kiss. The remains of a Chinese takeaway and red wine are on a table. Mirabelle is in bed. Ray stands in the doorway.
Well, we missed the Lakers.
Do you care?
I wish I did. I'd be such a guy. I'm gonna get some water.
Oh, let me get you some.
No, I'll get it. You want some?
Yes. Sweetheart.
What?
Nothing.
She looks troubled. Dawn. Mirabelle is in Ray's shower.
You want toast or toaster waffles?
Toaster waffles.
Toaster waffles.
Ray leaves the bathroom. Lisa is alone in her bed.
Hello.
Oh, did I wake you?
Hmm?
It's Jeremy.
Who?
Sorry, speakerphone. It's Jeremy.
Who's Jeremy?
What do you mean, who's Jeremy?
Have we met?
It's Jeremy from last night, you little devil. You're so funny.
Oh, you mean we met at the gallery?
Alone, yeah. Sure, we did all those. Remember we were doing all those oriental positions and you called me Big Daddy?
Oh, Ray.
Oh, Ray.
What?
You don't know who this is?
Yeah. This is Ray Porter from last night.
Okay, who is Ray Porter?
Ray's house.
Your waffle is burnt to perfection. Hey, guess what?
What?
When I'm in New York next week, I decided to look for an apartment there.
To move there?
No, just a place to stay while I'm there. No more luggage. Woohoo!
Like a crash pad. You lucky mister.
Actually, I'm going to look for a three-bedroom in case I meet someone and have kids.
Carrying a small case, she follows Ray into the corridor. She stops. She sits on a wooden bench, putting the case down, and sighs heavily.
I'm sorry.
She looks straight ahead. He stands over her, shaking his head.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Ray. Why don't you love me?
He stares at her, then puts down the newspaper he's carrying and sits beside her.
Are you just biding your time with me?
I thought you understood.
She smiles sadly. He frowns. She turns away, trying not to cry.
So, I can either hurt now or hurt later.
She nods and turns to face him. He looks sheepish. She smiles and raises her eyebrows.
Now, I guess.
She stands up and walks down the corridor, leaving Ray sitting with her case. She is at work, leaning on the glove counter, looking bored. It's dark. She trudges slowly up the steps to her apartment. As she approaches her front door, there is a flash of lightning. She sits in her pajamas on the couch, looking glum. She walks down a road next to a brightly painted wall. She walks despondently across a bridge in a woolly hat and scarf. She lies in bed, frowning, staring into the distance. She holds Ray's original card over a plate and sets it alight with a match. It's dark. A tree is lit up in a car's headlights. In a white nightie, Mirabelle sets up her camera on a tripod and runs over to the tree in the headlights and poses, arms by her side. She is in a club, drinking beer, watching a live band. At the store, her boss shakes her hand before she leaves.
Goodbye, Mirabelle, and good luck.
Lisa, leaning on the cosmetics counter, looks sullen. Mirabelle walks past and smiles at her. She smiles back half-heartedly. Mirabelle looks happy as she leaves the store. Mirabelle sits at the reception desk of the empty art gallery. She sighs heavily. It's dark. She walks up the steps to her apartment. Outside the door is a red box and a big envelope. Inside, Mirabelle opens the envelope. She smiles at a giant card covered many times in the words, "Lots of love." Inside it says, "I would like to have dinner with you, Jeremy, my treat," in brackets. Still smiling, she puts the card down and takes a single red rose from the box and holds it up. Nighttime, a busy street full of colourful neon lights. Jeremy and Mirabelle walk through the crowds.
So could I borrow like 2 bucks? I'm just kidding. Here. This is one of my lucky rubber bands. For a rainy day.
Thanks.
They hold hands. They pull up outside her apartment in a smarter car than before. He gets out and runs round to open the door for her.
Of course.
He walks her to her door.
Okay. I've been reading a lot of books on tape about getting into the moment. And I think this is the moment. And in the moment, this moment, I think we should kiss. And I've stood right here before and I've been hurt. I've been rejected by you. And I'm gonna ask you to kiss me again. And
he shakes his head.
Will you just kiss me?
They kiss. He holds her neck. He pulls back, nodding, looking down, embarrassed.
Jeremy. So what made you do all this?
All this what?
All this success.
Well, you did.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Well, you said, just do it. So I did.
Well, that's not very much.
Yeah, but I'll protect you.
They smile at each other. They embrace tightly.
I will.
She is in her apartment, crayoning. Ray stands in the dark by his pool, looking towards her apartment, holding a glass of wine. He glances at the house, then drinks.
Some nights alone, he thinks of her. And some nights alone, she thinks of him. Some nights these thoughts occur at the same moment. And Ray and Mirabelle are connected without ever knowing it.
Above Ray, the starry night sky.
But Mirabelle, now feeling the warmth of her first reciprocal love, has broken away from him. And as Jeremy offers her more of his heart, Mirabelle offers equal parts of herself in return.
Jeremy and Mirabelle are on the bed together.
One night, sooner than she would have liked, which made it irresistible, they make love for the second time in 14 months. At this point, Jeremy surpasses Ray Porter as a lover of Mirabelle, because what he offers her is tender and true.
Clothed, they sleep, his arms wrapped around her, watched by the ginger cat. Nighttime. People mill around outside the gallery. Mirabelle's name is outside on the list of exhibitors. A picture of her naked against a black background is on the wall.
So, tonight we'll go for Indian food.
Yeah.
I want one of those burritos.
Yeah.
Adobe.
Adobe?
Adobe. What is it called?
Mirabelle looks over to see Ray and his woman friend arrive. She smiles and waves. He smiles back, raising his eyebrows self-consciously.
I'm just gonna go talk to my friend. I'll be back in a second.
My girlfriend, did you?
Did you get my birthday present?
I did, yeah. Did you get my thank you note?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Thank you.
It's okay.
You look nice.
Thank you.
Are you happy?
The lower intensity is nice.
Yeah.
Who's your girlfriend?
She's a doctor.
Ah, a hypochondriac no more. Mm. She'll check you out.
Well, she's a gynecologist.
And you'll have a lot to discuss.
Are you happy?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm always a little edgy.
Restless.
That's a good word.
I want you to have the drawing of me sleeping. It's in the gallery.
You don't have to do that.
No, I want you to have it. I made it while we were seeing each other.
Thank you. And, just so you know, I'm sorry for the way I treated you.
I know.
I did love you.
She nods, trying not to cry. They stare at each other, smiling, then embrace. They separate. She walks away, back towards the gallery. He watches her walk away. Pink petals blow in the wind. She smiles as she looks back over her shoulder, then skips into the outstretched arms of Jeremy outside the door. They embrace, watched by the lone figure of Ray with a pained expression.
As Ray Porter watches Maribel walk away, he feels a loss. How is it possible, he thinks, to miss a woman whom he kept at a distance so that when she was gone, he would not miss her? Only then does he realize how wanting part of her and not all of her had hurt them both, and how he cannot justify his actions except that, well, it was life.
An aerial view of the city at night. Skyscrapers, lights sparkling through their windows. The city spreads out in the darkness, lights twinkling, the headlights of traffic jamming the roads. The sky glowing a fiery red and orange over the city. The end.
More big premieres coming your way this weekend, including Fun with Dick and Jane. Jim Carrey and Taya Leone are the all-American couple who turn to crime to pay the bills in the remake of a hit from the 70s. That's on Sky Movies Premiere, Saturday night at 10:35. But if you miss that for some reason or other, don't worry, as there are now 7 days to catch our latest premieres with screenings every night at the same time. If you'd like to know more about our New Look service, take a look inside the April issue of your Sky Movies magazine.